Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God.
When we did our title, they kept it was in a book. But we had to change.
It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things. You don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're so glad you could join us today. We are coming to you live from Kingdom of God Ministries located in Canton, Georgia. Our address, if you are in the Canton, Georgia or the Atlanta area, be sure to drop in and visit us. We are in this location because this is where God told us to be. The address is 9550 Bells Ferry Road. We have services on Sunday at 11 o'clock, but not exclusively on Sunday, however God lead. But right now, this is where he tells us to be on Sunday. Amen. We're not hooked up on a particular day. We worship God 24-7, 365 days a year. So we're just not hooked up on one particular day. This just happened to be the day that we gather together in fellowship and in worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we had taught last Sunday on praising God, how to praise, how to do true worship, how to worship God. Today we are going to be talking on deliverance by Jesus Christ. We had initially labeled it casting out demons by the finger of God, but because when you're doing some posting, sometimes the certain words they say may be offensive to the audience. Well, the power of God is going to be offensive to demon-possessed people. Let's get it. Okay, so it's deliverance by Jesus Christ. And I'm coming out of Luke, the 11th chapter. Actually, it's going to be 14 through 36. But before I begin, let me open up with prayer. Father God, we just want to thank you today. We want to give you praise, honor, and glory. Lord God, it's because of you that we worship. We gather together worshiping you in holy praises, singing unto you, Father God. Lord, we know this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord God, we thank you for everything you have done, everything you are doing. We thank you for the deliverance. We thank you for bondages being broken. We thank you for the captives being set free. And all we do, Lord God, we acknowledge you because it's not by our hand that we should boast, but it's because of your power and your mercy and your goodness. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So look, now we should go into our scriptures, and I will start reading, like I said, it's Luke, the 11th chapter, 14, and I will begin to read. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. Wow, you know. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. Others testing him sought for him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in place, in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overtakes him, he takes from him all his armor and in which he trusted and divides his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes out through dry places seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you, and the beat and the breast which nurse you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And while the crowds were thick and gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she comes from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. No one, when he has lit a lamp, put it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Let's say amen for the reading of the word. Amen. So as you can see, when you start doing deliverance in the pot, there's going to always, just like the scribes and the Pharisees came against Jesus and said he was doing this by the power of Beelzebub, Jesus had to get them corrected. A house divided against himself will not stand. Number one, in the deliverance ministry, when you're going through a deliverance with a particular person, first of all, we have to identify how the demons got into this person, how they came in. And the Lord showed me some come in through ignorance, some come in through unrepentant sin. So we have to decide or determine how these particular spirits came in. Now, number one, we've seen that when that house was swept clean, you see how they'll go away for a season, but they said, I will return unto my house. Now, this was talking about someone who had a relationship with God, or who had salvation with God, because their house was cleaned up, their house was garnished. But this is why I'm saying, this is why we teach people, once you go through deliverance, you have to stay in the word. You have to keep singing the praises unto God. You have to keep letting God wash you and cleanse you, because those things are just sitting on the sideline waiting on the opportune time. And this is why we have to guard our heart, guard our mind, because these are some of the ways they enter through the mind. Amen. So Luke 14:26, Christ thus casting out the devil was really destroying their power. The heart of every unconverted sinner is the devil's palace. So when you're unrepentant and you go on to church, but you're still unrepentant, the devil sits in your house and he says, this is my palace. This is my kingdom. The sinner is the devil's palace, where the devil dwells and where he rules. That's why he said, let not sin reign over your mortal body. As Christians, we cannot let sin rule and guide us, but we need to be guided and ruled by the Holy Spirit. There's a kind of peace in the heart of an unconverted soul. While the devil, as the strong man arm, keeps it, the sinner is secure, has no doubt concerning the goodness of his state, nor any dread. Let me go on. It says, but observe the wonderful change made through conversion. When God comes in that sinner's heart, there is a conversion. There is something that takes place. As you begin to grow in Christ and you begin to learn of Christ, you begin to understand how God can come into your house and you are filled with his power, with his anointing, with his might. We don't want to be ruled and controlled by the devil. The conversion of a soul to God is Christ's victory over the devil, and his power in that soul, restoring that soul to its liberty and recovering his own interest in it and power over it. All the endowments of the mind of the body are now employed for Christ. You see how that is? Once you become a born-again, spirit-filled, born-again believer, Satan do not have dominion over you any longer. Amen. Here's the condition of a hypocrite. And I told you how they were religious people, but yet they were talking against Jesus. Jesus was doing good work, but the hypocrites don't always talk against that. The house is swept from common sins by a forced confession as Pharaoh, by a fiend contrition as Ahab, or by a partial reformation as Herod. The house is swept, but is not washed. The heart is not made holy. Sweeping takes off only loose dirt. So you see what I'm saying? That's why we have to be filled with the Spirit. Because nowadays they'll go through the sinner's prayer, but they may need some underlying deliverance. The sinner's prayer is good, but there might be some little hidden things that they never dealt with that is lurking in the darkness, okay? So it's sweeping up, takes off the loose dirt, while the sin that beset the sinner, the beloved sin, is untouched. So it's easy for them to say, oh, I may have a spirit of drinking, but they never get to the root cause of the drinking. associated with the drinker could be depression, could be anger, could be violence. Because a lot of times when people have a drinking problem, when that other spirit comes over them, you see they have a split personality. They can be so quiet when they're not drinking, but as soon as they start that drinking, that violent demonic spirit start manifesting. They say the beloved sin is untouched. A lot of times in the church, Christians have beloved sins. Christians have sins that they don't want nobody to talk about. You could talk about no faith. You could talk about all these little, topical things. But when you start getting deep about perversion, about lust, about all this stuff that God looks down upon, then they don't want you to touch it. The house is garnished with the common gifts and graces. It is not furnished with any true grace. It is all paint and varnish, not real nor lasting. That's why when they go through this, and they'll go through the sinner's prayer, soon as they get out of church, they right back to doing what they was doing. Because it's topical. They need to get a conversion, a true conversion, where God can come in and cleanse that heart, where he can sanctify that person. Amen. It was never given up to Christ, nor the heart was never given up to Christ totally. They just say they'll go through it, they'll feel a little good. Maybe the service is going good, the singing is going good, and they'll get emotional and they may cry a little bit. But like I said, they never give up that pet sin. Let us take heed of resting in that which a man may have, and yet come short. It says, come short of heaven. The wicked spirits enter in without any difficulty. They are welcome, and they dwell there. There they work, there they rule. From such an awful state, let everyone earnestly pray to be delivered. They can hide dormant. And you go on lifting holy hands, and you think it, and then something will flop. Years later, you say, where did this come from? Because you never dealt with the sin. We're living in a generation of saints, and if you look at the news, it's just so sad how demons is taking over people's lives. I was reading the paper yesterday where a grandmother was supposed to be taking her two little grandkids to a birthday party. She pulls off, shots the two-year-old in the head, shots the six-month in the head, and then killed herself. People say she had a spirit of suicide on them, but they thought she was getting better. Then we have another. See, this is how evil demons are. This is why they need to be dealt with. We can't play with. We're in a spiritual warfare. We cannot play with these things because they want to take you out. They want to destroy your home, your family. They do not like human life. So when you see these things manifested, get it to the place of worship where they can be cast out. I'm not talking about psychiatrists, because if psychiatry had the answers, we wouldn't have all these people running around shooting up folks. When you have dead deliverance and you can look in the eyes of a demon-possessed person and you can actually see that other spirit looking through at you, you know there's something else there. You know that is not that human person looking through those eyes. You have to look in the eyes, and you have to identify the evil. We've been in the face of demonic people, and we know that it was another entity. What would make somebody want to kill a grandkid? What would make somebody go up into a schoolhouse and shoot up little kids? What would make someone go into a movie theater and shoot up people? What would make someone cut his grandmother up with a machete? Demon spirits. And it's sad because a lot of times the church was doing what they were supposed to be doing, we could get some of these folks set free. But a lot of times if you go to some of these big churches, they don't even talk about demon possession. They don't even talk about somebody being bound up. They say, yeah, you got victory in Christ Jesus, but how do I get the peace? How do I get the victory? What do I need to do to be made whole and set free? That's why we need teachers that's going to break down the word and teach God's people. because these things, demons are running rampant, and the people of God are sitting like little helpless lame ducks. And like I say, if you're not washed, if your heart ain't given over to Christ, then you're giving your members over to the enemy. And he comes into your heart, and he sits there, and he rules, and he wants to control you. Christ promised that there should be one sign given. Even the sign of Jonah the prophet, which is in Matthew, is explained as meaning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he warned them to improve, he said, to improve this sign. But through Christ himself was a constant preacher in any congregation and worked miracles daily among them. Yet unless his grace humbled their heart, they would not profit by his word. Let us not desire more evidence and fuller teaching than the Lord is pleased to afford us. We should pray without ceasing that our hearts and understanding may be open, that we may profit by the light we enjoy, and especially take heed in the light which is in us, not darkness. For if our leading principles be wrong, our judgment and practice must become more so. We have to make sure as men and women and teachers of the Most High God that we are teaching the truth so that people, the bondages, he's came to set the captives free. But if I'm up here teaching and I got darkness and I'm unconfessed sin, how will I bring that to you to be delivered? That is the problem in the church today. A lot of times the elders and the bishops and the teachers are not living a life that is pleasing to God. This is why they don't deal with demons.
All right.
It doesn't matter how much scripture you have. Even if you can quote the whole Bible, if Jesus doesn't come down and bind the strong man and the powers of hell working in our lives, you won't make it. We can't do anything without him. We have to have the kingdom of God to come to us and be in us. That's over in Luke 11 and 20. Jesus said, if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Luke 17, 21 says, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. But we have a part to play in binding, in this binding. We have to believe what God has said, his testimony, and speak it in faith.
Amen.
You have to have faith and believe that you have the authority. Once you get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you have that authority to bind that spirit. Whatever is manifesting in your life, you may not be able to get to a church all the time. But the power of God in you, you can say, Satan, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of drugs. You foul spirit of fornication. You combine that up.
Yes.
Amen. Most who go to church, any church, to hear the word of God, are never taught anything about warfare on their party or their part in it. So when all hell breaks loose, you find them testifying to the power of the enemy and talking about quitting and saying, it's too hard. I can't make it. I didn't bargain for this. The devil is doing this to me and doing that to me. No matter how much scripture you know, it doesn't stop the power of hell from attacking you. Satan even tried to tempt Jesus, the Son of God. The victory Jesus got over him in the wilderness was not a one-time victory. When Satan left off from his temptation, scripture says it was only for a season or until an opportune time. One battle and victory doesn't end the warfare. It is a lifelong warfare. It is the devil's job to test and tempt us, and he only does that which God allows him to do. But the only way you can combat that devil is putting on the whole armor of God. We are in a true spiritual war. And like we was discussing today, just like the natural army got particular duties for people to do, that's what demon spirits does. Their job is to torment you. That's what they are on assignment to do. So they go around, these billions of demons, looking for folks who don't have a relationship with God, who heart is hardened, and that's the people that they want to target. This is why we have to teach you how to stay in the Word, how to wash yourself with the Word, how to speak the Word over your life, how to speak the Word so that your mind, your thoughts will be pure, casting down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is what we have to do. We have to continually speak the Word over our life, because like I said, they just waiting on an opportune time when you least expect, when you take your armor off, here they come. We have to stay fully on, fully guarded, fully on our post, standing on guard, watching, waiting, ready for them to attack, because when they attack, we're going to attack back with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. But God has promised us, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you by such, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And he said he will never leave us nor forsake us as long as we walk in obedience. If we forsake him, then he will forsake us. 2 Chronicles 15:2, Psalms 149:5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud their best. If they feel like it, no. He said this is something we should always do. He said Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But if we praise God half-heartedly, you're offering him a blemished sacrifice. This is why we taught on praise last week, because this is one weapon that the devil don't like. He do not like praise. You try sometimes. When you're going through it, when you got the spirit of heaviness on it, just start praising God. That heaviness, that spirit will lift off of you, and then you'll start feeling lighter again. That depression is a dark, demonic force. It has people feeling like that they want to die. I don't want to get up in the morning. I hate living. And so that spirit of suicide will come on them, and that's when the devil enter in, and then they take their life. It's so sad that we have Christian people commit suicide. Why? Because they don't know how to cast their cares on Christ. They're trying to hold this burden on their own. They're trying to fight a spiritual warfare with natural carnal means. You cannot do that. You cannot fight a spiritual warfare with carnal means. We need to have Christ that will fight our every battle. But the only way you get Christ is by accepting him in your heart and living a life that is set aside and pleasing to God. You have to remember that you're no match for a demon power than your flesh or ability. What if when you come before God, you don't feel like praising him? Then you may not get the victory. You're going to have to praise God. It's the spirit, it's the devil attaching itself to your life. The solution is to put on a praise as a garment. That's what he told us to do. Depression, oppression, or spirit, birds of prey that come down upon the sacrifice, and that's what they do. And anytime you start praising them, they try to shoot it out to stop you from praising them. They'll shoot out things. They'll shoot out tongues and lash out against you to try to keep you from praising. But we're going to praise God in Kingdom of God ministry. Remember the fire that came down to eat up Adam's sacrifice in Genesis 15. After he prepared the animals to make a covenant with God, Genesis 15:11 says, Abram drove the fowls away from his sacrifice. Today we are the sacrifice. We're going to drive those foul demonic spirits away from our sacrifice, because we're going to offer up a pure sacrifice unto God. Amen. Praise God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifice has to do with worship. When your life becomes a sacrifice, the birds of prey come against you. But God inhabits the praises of his people. True praise in the spirit and in truth brings God's presence. But God will not give his presence to a blemished sacrifice. Our praise must be from a pure, sincere heart. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Psalms 149, 89, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Yes. Judgment against the power of darkness. They have been defeated. So this is what we need to do. We need to begin to bind up the strong man. We have to come against all these sins that so easily beset us. We need to do some deliverance and begin to, you can do deliverance or you need to go and get deliverance. But you need to get these things taken, cast out of you. Jesus didn't say just go and you walk in your victory. You seen Jesus where he was going about casting out. He would deliver them and then he would tell them, go and sin no more. This is what we need to do. We have to cast out some of these demons because, like I say, sometimes they can come in through generational curses, sometimes through ignorance, sometimes through bad associations. You can be around some people, and they may not even have a revelation of who Jesus is. Before you know it, you'll start acting just the way they are. Those same spirits will start connecting to you. You'll start doing things that just say, where did this come from? Because these demons, they go around and they go in clusters, number one. So if you take one, a lot of times you're taking on two or three more. That's why he said that man's last state is worse than the first, because they go in clusters. They bring partners. They bring friends. So you might have a drug demon. Next thing you know, you're shooting heroin. Next thing you know, you're under the corner selling your body. So now you got a drug demon, a prostitution demon. You got a gambling demon. And see, they come in clusters. So you got to have this stuff cast out of you.
Yeah.
This is not a gang thing. We are here to tell you that this stuff is real. We are fighting a truly spiritual warfare. You cannot do it with carnal means. If you look at Hollywood, they are promoting demonic activity. They're telling people that demons are real, but they're not giving you real solutions. They don't have solutions because they are carnal. The only way you can get free of these demons is through the power of Jesus Christ. And this is why we're teaching the way we're teaching, because I don't want to see another brother or sister bound up, depressed, oppressed, suicidal. You don't have to live like that anymore. We got the King of Kings living in our life. We should be able to walk in newness and victory in Christ Jesus. And I just want to thank you, and I give the floor over to Pastor Bobby. Praise God. Amen. I get revved up here. Praise God. Glory.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And we're talking about deliverance by Jesus Christ. And one thing that we have to realize and remember, and one thing I want to say right off the bat before I get started is this. Everything that the enemy does against mankind is illegal. Let me say that again. Everything that the enemy does against mankind, every man, woman, boy, and child, is illegal. Now, why am I saying that? Because God did not create man to be bound up and demon possessed. So every person that the devil is dealing with, or that the devil tries to possess, or that the devil possesses, it is against the will of God. Now, I'm going to say that again to everybody out there listening, is that when Satan is attacking you and possessing you and causing you all kind of harm and evil, it is illegal. In other words, God has really not given him permission to do what he's doing to you, but he's doing it to you because he can. You're not resisting him. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't have the armor. You're not under the umbrella of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not your Lord. So since that is the case, the enemy will come in, even though he is not supposed to, he will, because of your relationship or lack of relationship with God. I have to say that right off the bat, because everybody wants to say, well, why God allowed this? Well, why he let this happen? And all of this and all of that. And well, it's happening because you chose the other way.
You didn't choose the Lord. You chose to go your way. But one thing we have to remember, people, that there's either God or it's the enemy. There's no in-between. There is no purgatory, you see. So if you reject God, then you're on the side of the enemy. If you reject the devil, then you're on the side of God. But there's no in-between. Now, if you're in between, or you think you're in between, you're open for everything that the devil wants to do to you. You have no, absolutely no protection at all. I want to bring that out before I go any further. What I want to bring out right off the bat is that it is not God's will that any man or woman, boy or child, be possessed by the enemy, be afflicted by the devil, be tormented by the devil. If that was the case, Jesus Christ would not have had to come. Jesus Christ would not have been casting out devils. The apostles would not have been casting out devils. The deacons and the first church would not have been casting out devils. It would have been all good. People could have just been possessed. But that wasn't the case. Now, one thing I want to bring out is various demonic spirits, they act a certain way. And I'm going to bring those things out because it's not being taught. And so we're going to bring some things out. Now, Sister Montgomery, she brought out some things wonderfully in reference to how we should be. But see, I would say this. If you can't win, you can't fight a battle and win a battle if you don't know the enemy. If you don't know how the enemy acts, if you don't know what he's going to do, if you don't know what the devil is going to do in this situation, if you can't recognize when the devil is moving in your life, you will not adequately fight the battle. Now, you might fight, but 9 times out of 10, you won't win. It's like this. You can't, and I say so many times, you cannot come against an enemy and you only got 2 or 3 weapons and he got 200 or 300 weapons. Your stuff is going to run out much quicker than his. And if you run out of ammunition, you run out of bullets, you run out of weapons, and your enemy, the devil, got a multitude of weapons, who do you think is going to win? You're not going to win. So that's why we're going to bring this out. Now, what I want to bring out is this, is how demons act. How demons act, how devils act, how foul spirits act, how unclean spirits act. I'm going to bring this out so that you can identify this. The one thing about a foul spirit, they harass. God does not want you to be harassed, but devils and demons harass. That one of the primary activities of demons is to harass people, especially Christians. They are the agents of Satan. They are sent to both obstruct Christians in their walk or to prevent people from turning to Jesus. I got to bring that out because many people go to church and they'll feel a tugging in their spirit. They'll feel a tugging in their heart, but they will just sit there and look like a spirit of shame come on them, or fear come on them, and they will not step up and accept Christ. That's the devil. Yeah. Satan is doing that because Satan does not want you to be saved. Why? So he can continue to harass you, to harass your mind, to harass your body, to tell you what you can't do. That's what the devil does, especially when it comes to the things of God. He's constantly telling you what you can't. No, you can't witness to that person. You can't be saved. You can't be filled. You can't cast spirits off people. You can't. That's what the devil will tell you. But that is not God. What did I say? That's what he does to keep people from turning to Jesus Christ. Now, many of you out there right now listening to me, you know that the Lord God Jesus Christ is calling you to him. And you're sitting there or you're listening and you are allowing the devil to prevent you from turning to God. But you have the authority. Let me read this to you. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. mind that's telling you you got time. That's not your mind that's saying, well, maybe next week. That's the devil. Because he knows that if you get up and make a step towards Jesus, Jesus will be there and he will save you and he will set you free and he will push Satan out of the way. Satan wants to stay in your way. He wants to block everything that you're trying to do for the Lord. That's how demons act. Now, another thing that devils do, they enslave. Bondage. Spiritual bondage. And not just spiritual bondage, but bondage of fear. And then again, too, a lot of times, if you're spiritually bound, you're going to be bound in other ways. That was brought out earlier today that when you take on one error or one sin, say the sin of drug addiction, it's going to lead to a bondage of whatever it takes to get to drugs. Prostitution, those things, you might start robbing and stealing. That's another bondage. So you say you're being bound and bound and bound. First you're harassed, then you're enslaved. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage against your fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, look. We have not received the spirit of slavery. The devil puts that out there. The devil does that. So all of you out there listening, if you're bound by something, if you're bound by any sin, any iniquity, that's the devil. Don't just say, well, that's just me, or that's just a generational curse, or that's just a bad habit. No, that's the devil, and you need to be delivered from that. The only way you're going to be set free and delivered from anything satanic is through Christ Jesus. Doctors can't help you. Psychologists can't help you. Lawyers can't help you. Natural means cannot help you. The only help, the only deliverance, the only thing that's going to break that bondage is Jesus Christ. It's not just going to church. It's not just reading your Bible. It's not just doing good things, although those things are good. But if you are bound up, you need to call on Jesus Christ, because the deliverance is by Jesus Christ. The deliverance is by Jesus Christ, people. That's the only way. Your denomination, what you call yourself, will not get a foul, unclean demon off of you. Because you're Baptist, because you're Methodist, because you're Pentecostal, Lutheran, or Catholic, or whatever you call yourself, your denomination is not going to set you free. The only thing that's going to set you free is Jesus Christ. And we cannot say that enough. There's no formulas like that. You can't just go get a book and read it and get set free from an alcoholic demon. You have to be set free. You have to be purged. The thing has to be cast out because it is a living entity that wants to take your life. It wants to take your life, people. They do not like you. Let me say this. Demons are incapable of any kind of love. Do you hear that, people? Demons are incapable of any kind of love. I don't even know if they can write. They are all about destruction. What did Jesus say? The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus didn't say nothing about that the devil have any kind of love or he want to help anybody. No, he doesn't want to help anybody. He wants to destroy everybody, and he will do that by any means necessary. If he has to give you stuff, he will give you stuff. But your end result is death and destruction and disease and possession and loss of your mind, loss of your health, and loss of everything that you love. That's what the devil is about. But Jesus, he's here that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, what is life? Life is God. Life comes from God. So if you want to live, you got to come into the knowledge of God. And when you come into the knowledge of God, then you will be able to come against the wiles of the evil one, the devil. And you will learn how to put him in his place, and the devil's place is not in you, people. I say that again. The devil's place is not in people. That's, no, no. He's not in people. Well, somebody might say, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. My grandfather been doing it, and my grandmama, they did it. They smoked dope. They were alcoholics. So it's okay for me to be like that. No, it's not okay for you to be like that. It's time for somebody in the family to break that generational curse. And the only way that that generational curse will be broken is if somebody come in the family, accept Jesus Christ as Lord, and denounce that demon. And then it won't follow your family. Because there's an enslavement that's by Satan. They also entice. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death, James 1, 14-15. When we fail to crucify the flesh and allow unclean or wrong desires to tempt us, then we open the door to demonic power and can be enticed by demons into deeper sin. The devil entices people with your own desires because you have familiar spirits and they go around and they study you. And after they study you, they say, oh, he weak with this. Oh, let's dangle this in front of him. Now, if he bites, then we're gonna put some other devils on him. And when we put these demons on him, we're going to cause him to go into deeper sin where if he can get this guilt conscious on him so he can feel all oppressed and depressed and he won't come along the Lord. If we get him in sin deep enough, see, he'll be so ashamed that he won't want to go around the saints and get this thing off of him. So we're going to entice him. That's what the devil does. All of you out there listening, be careful that you do not put yourself in a position to be tempted of the enemy. Because when you put yourself in a position to be tempted, he's going to jump on you with all fours. That's the devil. Because he wants to entrap you. He wants you to get you in a position to take the bait like a fisherman going fishing. A fisherman going fishing, you throw a bait out there to the fish. It looks good. But the fish can't see that hook in the middle. He'll get around and he'll start nibbling. Oh, he's hungry. So he's going to what the fishermen throw out. He'll get to nibbling around there, and after a while, he'll get to that hook. And when he gets the hook, guess what? The fishermen hook him. And when the fishermen hook him, he's not hooking him just to play with him. He's trying to bring him in so he can eat it. The devil desires to eat you up. And when he is enticing you to sin, enticing you with lust, the lust that you see, that you're bound up in, it could be money, it could be women, it could be fame, it could be any of those things, but he's enticing you in that to pull you deeper into sin so that he can destroy you. Another thing, devils and demons, they deceive. Hey, it's common. The only thing you got to do is look at television. Only thing you got to do is listen to music. And everything that they're portraying on television, everything that they're singing is a deception. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines. Oh, Lord, of demons speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Demons deceive and speak lies. Now check this out. What did it say? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies of hypocrisy. Now what are doctrines of demons? Doctrines of demons are any teaching that teaches contrary to the word of God, teaches contrary to Christ, is a perversion of the word of God. What it is, that's what many false prophets do. What many false prophets do, they'll say two words or two or three words that's accurate scripture, and then they'll throw in a lie. Now, when they threw that lie in there, they nullified the scripture. What did Jesus say? Well, he was talking about the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, look, y'all taking my words, you're twisting it, you're perverting it, and it's your doctrine, but you're teaching it like it's mine. So you're making the word of God of none effect. So that's what false prophets do, and that's what demons do. Look, I want to say this to everybody out there that's listening. The devil, demons know their word. But what the reason that they know the word is so that they can come to you and twist it. And twist it. Let me say this. You know, there have been several occasions where men, and it was brought out earlier, where women would take their children and throw them in the oven and cook them and say that God told them to give a sacrifice. Or they'll kill their children talking about God gave a sacrifice. No. There's nowhere in the scripture that any man or woman of God took their child and killed it, saying that was a sacrifice to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, that wasn't God. Now, false people did that. The devil did that. When they was worshiping Molech, they sacrificed their children, threw them in the fire. But that is not God. But do you see how Satan twists that thing? You see how Satan twists that thing? So we got to be careful not to fall into that deceit. We got to be careful not to be tormented by devils because demons torment. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But fear involves torment. 1 John 4:18. Those who are in total fear and often tormented by demon powers. And if you notice, and we got to bring this out. When a person is fearful, I have to say this, or when anything is fearful, it deals with your mind. Do you know you can't think straight when you're afraid? Do you know you can't act when you're afraid? Don't you know fear paralyzes? How are you going to fight an enemy with uncontrolled fear? You can't do it because you're going to freeze. You're not going to act right. You're not going to get on the offensive. You will cower. You will back up. You will not even use the weapons that you have to fight the enemy if you're full of fear. You'll drop your gun and run. If you are overtaken by fear, and saints, we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to fear the devil like that to the point where we cannot stand against him. Yeah, when you come in contact with a foul spirit, there's going to be, your hair might stand up on your neck a little bit. You might feel a little different because you're going into a world that you've never been into. You're going into a spirit realm. Our flesh, our mind is not accustomed to the spirit realm in that area. So you're going to feel an element of fear. But you have to realize that we have something greater than what we're looking at. And we don't have to fear to the extent of running away. That's when we call on Jesus Christ. So devils, they drive and compel. They go make you do something. Right now, you got to do it right now. Come on, come on. Right now. Come on, come on. You got to do it right now. That's how they work. Man, you got to get the drugs right now. Yeah, you got to get it. You got to hit this joint right now. You got to go to the club right now. And when he's telling you that, he's going to drive you and compare you to death and destruction. He don't want to give you time to think. So the man from the tombs had a demon which often seized them and he was driven by the devil, by the demon, into the wilderness. He was, in other words, I'll say it like this. For everybody listening, the devil does not want you to have a choice. God gives you a choice. Now, you can choose God, or you can choose the enemy, but with God, you have a choice. With the enemy, he wants to take away that choice. That's why he desires to tempt you and desires to possess you so that he can live his attributes through you, whatever it is, and it's not good. When you see a devil manifesting himself, you are seeing what's happening on the news. You're seeing murder. You're seeing rape. You're seeing thefts. You're seeing lying. You're seeing all manner of evil. And what you are seeing is the manifestations of the life of a demon, of a devil. That's what you're seeing. What was mentioned earlier today about these people going around killing people, snatching kids, killing kids, killing old folks, just killing everybody. That is the life of a devil. That is the manifestation of a false spirit. So what are we talking about? We're talking about deliverance by Jesus Christ. The only way that you're going to stop these things is people getting in Christ Jesus and allowing God to move in their life. That's it. That is it. I'm sorry. There's no other way for this nation other than Christ Jesus. Demons defiled. What do you see? You look at you. Look, I say it like this. They don't hardly make any good television programs. They don't hardly make any good sitcoms anymore. Just about everything they put on nowadays is perverted. They're going to have some aspect of perversion in what they put out. What's that, American Family? Modern Family? Everything is okay. You can do anything. You know, men and men, women and women. I know I might get blasted for that. I don't care. You know, what's old folks going on with little kids? Hey, it's okay. Everything is okay. Everything is right nowadays. Just like the scripture says, they call right wrong and wrong right. Wow. Wow. Now, who do you think wants that to be? Do you think God wants that? No. It's the devil wants that. But when you go away from the things of God, what do you think going to happen? You're going to be defiled. You're going to be perverted. You're going to be possessed. You're going to be harassed in your mind. You're going to be harassed in your body. You're going to take all kind of iniquity, all kind of infirmity, all kind of sickness. See, all these things come from the enemy. Many of them come from the enemy. Now, some of them, it's natural things happening, but a lot of stuff that comes upon these people is because they have an affiliation and they walk hand in hand with the devil, and Satan puts things on them to tear them down and to destroy them and pull them away from Christ. Because many people, when bad things happen to them, rather than saying that this is the devil, they say it's God. Rather than turning to God for deliverance, they're blaming God. They blame God. They get mad at God. They want to curse God. And what happens when you do that? Well, Satan comes in even more. He comes in even more, and your last state is worse than the first, as was said earlier. And that's, let me say it like this here. To everyone listening, the desire of demons and the devil is to get you in the state that they are in. Now, what is the state that the devil and demons are in? They cannot repent. They cannot be saved. They can never, ever come under the grace of God. They will never, ever get into the kingdom of God. They will never, ever receive the blessings of God. That is the state of the demons and the devil. And that's what demons and devils want mankind. That's where they want mankind. Where you cannot be saved. Where you'll be eternally separated from God. That is the will of Satan. So don't you think that if you make a pact with the devil, you call yourself selling your soul to the devil, or you make arrangements with the Satan for money or whatever it is out there, that he's doing it for your good. He's not. Demons fight you. They're always coming against you. Now, I got to say this. Because some people have the attitude that, well, if I don't mess with the devil, he ain't going to mess with me. No, if you don't mess with the devil, he's going to come up and knock your head off. That's what he's going to do. He's going to come off and knock your head completely off. He does not care about you ignoring him. Because he knows what he's going to do. He's one of the biggest bullies around. He does not care. Say, demons fight. They fight against our personal harmony, our peace of mind, our physical well-being, causing disruptions with other people, especially those close to us. Their great distinctive mark is restlessness. Listen, they can affect us in our emotions, attitudes, relationships. For example, they can cause resentment, hatred, fear, or rebellion. Now, that's how demons fight. In addition, they can affect the thoughts of the mind, causing doubt, unbelief, indecision, and procrastination. In the area of the tongue, they can cause lying, cursing, gossip, blasphemy, and in the sexual area, perversion, homosexuality, and masturbation. That's how they do it. It says, further, they can affect us in the area of alcohol, nicotine, gluttony, anorexia, and the physical infirmities. They can also cause tumors, heart attacks, arthritis, allergies, and cramps. Most addictions come out of frustration. The demon of lying needs a tongue to lie through. A demon of doubt needs a mind to doubt through. A demon of lust needs sexual organs to lust through. If we have recurrent, evil, disruptive, emotional attitudes which dominate us against our will, for example, resentment, hatred, fear, envy, jealousy, and pride, or extreme moodiness, which changes from being extremely talkative to unnaturally quiet, or if there is an unnatural restlessness and talkativeness, these can be the signs of demonic activity. Now we just went through a whole list of how demons act, okay? Now, when they start to, or if you sense these things, you can't fight them by just talking to them. You have to call on the name of Jesus, and we're going to go through some scriptures, and then I'm going to be finished. But one thing that was brought out, we're in the spiritual realm, and the only way you can win in the spiritual realm or in the spiritual fight is with spiritual things. Now, the things that Christ Jesus has given us is mightier than the things of the devil. Jesus Christ, God, is the one with all the power. God and Christ have all the knowledge. God and Christ is everywhere. Devils and demons don't have that kind of power. Now, they will try to convince you that they do by the things that they do. But they don't. They will lie to you. Why do you think they show films where foul spirits and demons are throwing preachers all over the room? Why do you think that is? Why do you think they show movies where preachers and pastors and stuff come against a demon and he gets his head smashed? Why do you think that is? Because they're trying to show, many times the movie industry is in league with Satan, satanic occults, so they want you to believe that you have no power in God, that you have no strength in Christ Jesus. So they're going to portray to you that, hey, if you come against the devil, you're going to lose. Well, in your own self, by yourself, but in Christ Jesus, you're going to always win. Now, it might take some time. It ain't going to be no 1 or 2 minute thing. It might take a while. It might take some hours. It might take some days. It might take some weeks. It might take months. It may even take some years, but you will be delivered because God has already won the battle. Now, listen to this. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We should not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, how do you do that? The only way you can walk according to the Spirit is by Christ Jesus. I'm going to read a few scriptures to you, then I'm going to be out the way. Then we're going to talk about a little bit of deliverance here, and then we're going to close it out. Now, look here. 1 John 3 says, I'm going to read this. And behold, how much more the love of the Father abounds to us that he has called us and also made us children because of this. The world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, And it has not been revealed until now what we are going to be. Now, that's wonderful. But we know that when he has been revealed, we shall be in his likeness, and we shall see him just as what he is. And everyone who has this hope upon him purifies himself just as he is pure. But whoever commits sin commits evil, for sin is entirely evil. And you know that he was revealed to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. No one who remains in him commits sin, and no one who sins has seen him, neither has he known him. Children, let no one deceive you. He who does righteousness is righteous, even as the Messiah also is righteous. He who commits sin is from Satan, because Satan is a sinner from the beginning. But the Son of God appeared for this reason, to destroy the works of Satan. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of Satan. But check this out. Now, if Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan, and Jesus is in us, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to destroy the works of Satan. Satan is not supposed to destroy us. We're supposed to destroy his works. How do we destroy his works? By casting him out. Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now Colossians 2 and 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now Luke 10 reads like this, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. And this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. What did Jesus say? He gave you power. People, listen to me out there. Jesus gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. You know what he said all? He didn't say some. Jesus said over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But he said, he stopped right there and he said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He put the emphasis on your salvation. He put the emphasis on your holy living. You see, that's what he put the emphasis on, that you're going to make it into the kingdom of God. Luke 11 reads, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoil. Did you hear that, people of the Most High God? You have something stronger than the strong man, which is Jesus Christ. So you have the authority and the ability to overcome and overtake any demonic spirit that is attacking you. You have authority over this thing, and you can command it to go in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus has given you the authority through him. Why? In the previous verse, Luke 10, because you are saved, and Jesus Christ is living in and through you, and he has given you the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the very power and spirit of the living God. And so therefore you have authority over these four spirits, but it is through Jesus Christ. You can't do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. Deliverance is not by you, other than you obeying God by his word, being saved, being filled with the spirit of the living God. That's it. Mark 16, And, all right. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Anybody that believes, these signs are supposed to follow you. Now, if these signs are not following you in one way or the other, you need to check yourself. I'm saying this to everybody under the sound of my voice. If you are harassed and being oppressed and depressed by devils, if you are seeing demons every time you look around, then you need to get closer to God. You need to seek the Lord. And if you can't seek the Lord, seek some of his people. Because God walks through his people. Just like the devil walks through people, God walks through his people. So if you can't handle that spirit, then you need to get around some people. You need to get in a congregation of people who believe in deliverance so you can be set free, because I'm going to tell you. If you go to these doctors and these psychiatrists, they're going to give you some pills. They're going to give you some pills. Yeah, they're not going to deal with the root. They're going to put you in one of those homes where they're going to shoot you up with some more pills. And the next thing you know, you're going to be crazier than a vegetable. Slap crazy. Because they cannot handle your problem. They can't. Now, I'm going to talk about some areas in deliverance and say, now, how are we going to be delivered? Well, first of all, we need to humble ourselves. We need to say, Lord, I can't handle this thing. I can't do nothing with this. I need some help. I'm going to surrender my pride. I'm going to get this shameness out of the way. And I'm going to seek you. Lord, help me. That's all you got to do. See, humbleness is a requirement of Scripture. If we're going to receive anything of the Lord, we got to be humble. We have to humble ourselves absolutely before God and others. You can't go before you got a demon and you're going to come to the Lord and you're going to say, well, no, I can't do it that way. That when you read the Scriptures, it's nobody in Scripture that came to Jesus Christ telling him how to do things. Well, Lord Jesus, I got this demon, but you got to do it this way. No, it don't work like that. One man tried to do that, and he had to come back. Naaman tried to do that. He went to Elijah when he had the leprosy. You remember the story. Elijah told him, well, look here, Naaman, you're going to have to go to that Jordan River over there, and you're going to have to dip seven times in that river. And when you dip seven times in the river Jordan, when you come up the seventh time, you're going to be clean. Naaman said, what? What? I'm not going over into that dirty, muddy river. We got pristine, clear rivers all over in my hometown. Now, if you tell me to go over there and dip in them crystal clear rivers, I'll do it. And his servant had to speak some sense into him and say, look, man, if the prophet would have told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Naaman said, yeah, I'd have done it. Yeah, just like that. He said, now he's telling you to do something simple that's going to get this plague off of you, and you don't want to do it. He thought about that. He said, well, I guess I'll go on back. And when he did what the Lord told him to do, he was healed of leprosy, just like that. You can't come to him in a spirit of pride. So we must be completely honest, because without honesty, there's no repentance. It's just like what was said earlier. If you come into the Lord, you ask him for deliverance, and you can't express to people what you need to be set free from, now God knows, but you're holding on to the thing. You can't, I can't give you this and keep holding on to it. If I'm going to give it to you, I have to let go of the thing. So that's the same way with evil spirits. Now, if you say you want to be delivered and set free, then you're going to have to repent and let it go. Repent and let it go. That's all. You got to confess our sins. It's important that we come before the Lord humbly and confess our sins to the Lord. We can also confess our sins to others. You got to be careful with that too, because some folks you can't tell what you can't talk to them about stuff. You can't tell them the things that you were involved in when you were in sin. You can't tell them because they're just about where you are. They'll go out and tell everybody. And that's incompetence. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray one from us for another that you may be healed, James 5 and 16. So we, in order to be delivered, we've got to confess our sin. We need to repent. Repentance was brought out earlier. Repentance is not just going and shaking a preacher's hand. Repentance is not just saying, I repent. Repentance means that you're turning away from what you did and you're not doing it again. Repentance involves making the decision not to do the same thing again. Remorse is being sorry for our sins. While when we come in repentance to God, we are sorry that we have done something. Nevertheless, we must make an absolute decision not to go back into the same sin. Because if you go back into that sin, seven other false spirits is going to enter into you, and you're going to be worse at the last state than you were in the first state. We're talking about deliverance. People, when you come to God, this is a serious thing. God will keep you, but you can't keep going back to the slop. If you were delivered from alcoholism, don't go around taverns. Don't go up in clubs. Don't go around people who drink all the time because that spirit wants to come back. And when it comes back, it's going to come back with a vengeance. Now, we got to forgive. Look, if you want to be delivered, you can't harbor unforgiveness in your heart. Because unforgiveness is like a breeding ground for the devil. Because the Lord Jesus said that, well, if we don't forgive, then the Lord is not going to forgive you. And if you're not forgiven, then you're in a terrible state. Now listen, it's imperative that we forgive others. If we forgive and honor our parents, then all will be well with us, and we will live long on the earth. That it may be well with you that we live long on the earth. But if we don't forgive, neither will our Father in heaven forgive us our trespasses. So what does that mean? If you don't forgive these people out here, then God is not forgiving you. And if he hasn't forgiven you, then you're yet in your sins. So you're hindering your own prayers. You're hindering your own deliverance by unforgiveness. We should call on the name of the Lord to be delivered. Delivered by Jesus Christ. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now when it says shall be saved, it means from every aspect. Salvation covers everything. Now, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to, hallelujah. Then we're going to close out. Salvation and deliverance is holy. It's holy, and then I'm talking about the holy that means set aside for God, but it's also holy. I mean, it encompasses everything. It's like a whole, you know, it covers holy. So it's not just you're going to get delivered from one thing and then you're going to have something else there. That's not how God works. When God delivers a person, he delivers a person. You're not, when you're saved, you're saved. You're not half saved. You're not saved from this thing, but you're not saved from that thing. That's not how the Spirit of God works. When the Spirit of God moves in and you get saved and you get delivered, whatever you're struggling with, whatever it is, he's going to get it all out. His desire is to get it all out. People out there listening to me, if you want to be set free, you got to call on Jesus Christ. We mentioned the things to you that will help you to be set free. And you have to do these things. I would say this. There's a lot of people want to go through formulas, shortcuts, and all this kind of stuff like this. There's no shortcuts like that in Christ. You do and you read and you keep the Word of God. The Word of God washes you daily. And I would say this. There are many things that might be dealing with you that you might that might deal with your mind and your heart, but do you know when you continue in the Word of God, when you continue in prayer and fasting, and you continue in praise, do you not know a lot of those spirits are going to leave you? You know, many times you won't even have to go and seek deliverance. But those things will just leave you. Why? Because they cannot stand and stay in the environment of Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus tells us to live holy and sanctified and be filled with the Spirit and be filled with the Holy Ghost, because devils do not, they can't dwell in that environment of holiness. That's the reason why they seek to do what they do. Amen. Now, we want to thank God for everyone that listened on today. And we pray that everyone was blessed by his word. We pray that everyone would have a revelation of the word. As we said earlier today, if anybody has a desire to be set free, they can come to 9550 Bells Ferry Road in Canton at the fire station. You can even call us sometime. We'll be more than happy to help you and pray with you. You can call us at 678-493-7702. Now, have some discretion, because if you call us at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you might not get an answer. You can leave a message. We'll get back with you. But we desire that you be set free, and we do not mind taking your calls. So at this point in time, we're going to end this broadcast. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done on today. Father God, we ask that you touch the listeners of the broadcast, that you touch their mind and their heart, give them revelation of your word. Touch them, Father God, and deliver them. Break the bondages that is in their life. Deliver them from false and unclean spirits. Deliver them from spirits of oppression and depression. We ask, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that you set them free now. In Jesus' name, those people who desire salvation, let them seek the salvation through Christ Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Call upon the Lord, and you shall be saved. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, and we ask that you all be with us again on next week, same time. Bless you.